Likutei Halacha, Siyaradeya, Chelek Aleph. We're on the final page, the last page of this volume, Mitzvashem. We hope to be finishing it today and starting the next volume of Yoredeya, Mitzvashem. Today's shiur is dedicated by our close friend Nathan Rudy from Brooklyn, New York, as a schus for his wife, Simcha Basora, who is expecting very shortly, Mitzvashem, and a schus for the whole family, for Shefa, Brocha, and Atzlacha. And we dedicate the learning for a complete refu shalema for all those that need it. B'soich shar choli Yisrael. Today is the yard site of the Bala Tanya, the founder of Chabad Hasidus. His name is Rav Shneir Zalman B'rei Boruch. Rav Shneir Zalman from Lodi, that was the city that he lived, I believe, towards the end of his life, who was a mechutin with Rabbeinu Zal. One of his grandsons married one of Rabbeinu Zal's daughters in her Zivug Sheni. Rabbeinu Zal's daughter Chaya married Reb Arka, Reb Aaron, one of the grandsons of the Bala Tanya. Last night I had the privilege of having a shiur in Ramat Beit Shemesh where we told over a number of stories related to the Bala Tanya, and I hope to continue it today. This afternoon there'll be a shiur in Shari Chesed, and I hope to speak also about it, Mitzvashem. We're in the middle of speaking about the incredible importance of mikveh, both as it relates to women and to men. And Rav Nosson Zal was speaking in this final paragraph, he was speaking about water of a natural spring and how that's even a better form of mikveh than when the mikveh is rainwater that's channeled and gathered. And Rav Nosson Zal was speaking a little bit about this concept of a spring and a well digging wells. And based on what we've been learning till now, our holy forefathers, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, who were the ones who started really broadcasting Hashem to the world, were always involved in digging wells. And the Torah makes a point of discussing this. Because they're the ones who really began publicizing Hashem to the world. Noach was a tzaddik, but it's called a tzaddik in pelts. A tzaddik for himself, him, his family. He didn't go out, he wasn't doing major outreach. Same thing with Adam Arishon or Mesushelach. They were tzaddikim in each generation. But Avram Avinu was the first one who went on a mission to broadcast this message. Al kein chofru be'erois, therefore they were involved in digging wells, shehem bechinas hisgalus elokusius baruch. The concept of a well, water coming from the depths of the earth, is related to revealing the presence of Hashem. Shehu mechaya es kulam, showing that Hashem is the one who infuses life into everything. This water that's found under the ground, that's found inside the earth, that gives chius to the entire earth, as we mentioned in the previous year. V'alkein hisgabru ha-pelishtim listoim es ha-beiros. And because of the fact that this is so important, this concept, this water from inside the earth, and digging wells, and this represents revealing and broadcasting Hashem, this is why the opposing forces, the sitrachra, in the form of the Pelishtim, were involved in stuffing up, trying to close up the wells that were dug by Avram and Yitzchak. Kamaisha Kosov, as it says clearly in Parshas Toldos, V'chol ha-be'erois asher chofru b'mei Avram oviv sitmum Pelishtim v'yamalam ofor. All of the wells that were dug during the lifetime of Avram Avinu, the Pelishtim closed them and filled them with dirt. Kirotzu lekalkel hatikunim shel hisgala selakusi esbarach shehimshich Avram Avinu boilam al yidei chafirois habeirois, because they wanted to damage and spoil all the accomplishments of revealing Hashem in the world, which Avram Avinu had accomplished by digging these wells. VeYitzchok chozar vechaforon, and Yitzchok Avinu, his son, went ahead and redug those wells. Kamaisha Kosuv, Vayoshov Yitzchok, Vayachbor es habeeros asher chofru bimei Avram Aviv. That Yitzchok Avinu returned and he dug up those wells that had been originally dug during the lifetime of his father Avram Avinu. I made a mistake yesterday in the previous shiur, at the end, all the way at the end of the shiur, when I said highlights of what we're going to speak about today, I said we're also going to discuss the famous Ramban in Parshas Bo. That Ramban refers to something else completely. He speaks there about performing mitzvahs, about a person who does a mitzvah because it's a nice thing to do or because it seems like the right thing to do. That's kfira, that's apikorsis. I'm performing the mitzvahs because Hashem said so. And if Hashem would have said that a child should beat up the parent, we would do it that way. But Hashem says that children should respect parents, so we follow the word of Hashem without any rationale, we're not doing it because we rationally understand that this is a good thing to do. We're doing it mipnei shehatoy ramra, because Hashem said so. The Ramban, what Rav Nosson Sal is referring to here, though, now, there is another famous Ramban in Parshas Toldos, where there it speaks about what Rav Nosson Sal just quoted, that Yitzhak Avinu returned and he dug up the wells which had been dug during the time of Avram Avinu, and the Pelishtim closed them up after Avram Avinu passed away, and Yitzhak Avinu gave them names like the names which his father had called these wells. Now we know the topic of names in general is something that we're zoche in our sforim, in Likutei Moran, and especially in Likutei Halachos. There's a few places that Rav Nosson Sal goes into major, major elaborate explanations and depth about the significance of a name. We know at a bris milah, one of the highlights at a bris milah is Kriyas Hashem, giving the name to the child. That's for a male child. And when a girl is born, we give the name by the Sefer Torah. And when Chas V'Shalom Lo Aleinu, a person is very sick, they add a name. And there's a concept of changing and different a lot. And when we speak about Hashem, 90% or 99% of our discussions about Hashem are about the name of Hashem or the names of Hashem. Baruch Shem Kivoyiv Malchusay Lo'olam V'Olam, name, all about name. So here the Torah makes a point of saying that Yitzhak Avinu named these wells like the names that his father had given originally. What's the significance? Wait till you hear. So it says, Vayachburu Avde Yitzhak Banochel, Yitzhak Avinu's servants dug in the stream, Vayimtsu Shom Be'er Mayim Chayim, and they discovered a well of flowing waters. Vayorivu Roye Gror Im Roye Yitzchok Lemar Lono Hamoyim. And the shepherds of Gror, of the Pelishtim, fought with Yitzchok Avinu's shepherds, claiming the water belongs to us. Vayikra, which was not true. Vayikra Shem HaBe'er Esek. And therefore Yitzchok Avinu named that well Esek, Ki His Asko Imoy. Because the word Esek means complaints, opposition. Because he had major opposition in digging up that first well. Then it says, Vayachbaru Be'er Acheres, they dug a second well, Vayarivu Gamaleha, and the Pelishtim fought over that one also, Vayikru Shmo Sitna, and they called it Sitna. Rashi writes, in French it's Nusement, also means some type of a machlokis. And then it says, Vayatek Misham, Yitzhak Avinu moved away from there, from the place where he had dug those first two wells, Vayachbor Be'er Acheres, and he dug another well, a third well, V'loirovu Aleho. And on that one, there was no fighting, there was no opposition. Vayikro Shmo Rechovois, and he called that well, that third well, Rechovois. There's a city in Eretz Yisrael today, Rechovot. Vayomer, Ki ato hirchiv Hashem lanu uforinu voretz. Because now Hashem has broadened everything for us. Hashem has opened up everything for us, and we are going to multiply in the world. We're going to grow. These are the psukim, and here this incredible Ramban. The Ramban we know is, the Arizal writes about the Ramban, that he was one of the very, very authentic members of the chain of passing down Kabbalah to Klal Yisrael. It began officially from Avram Avinu, who wrote the Sefer Yetzirah, and it was passed down from generation to generation to Yechidei HaDoros, individuals, very few individuals that had that knowledge at all and passed down from generation. And the Ramban was one of the giants in this area. The Arizal says in a place that the Ramban, his connection to Hashem is kaviyochel from the right payah of Hashem. Recently, they came out, Art Scroll came out with an elucidation of the Ramban ala Torah. There are many people that learn Ramban, again, one of the greatest of the Rishonim. And there are stories about him, incredible stories. So the Ramban writes that Yispar HaKosu Ve'yarech Binyan HaBeiros. The Torah tells us and elaborates on the topic of these wells. Ve'ein bipshutoi hasipur toyeles v'loi kovoid gotel Yitzchak. Just knowing the fact that they dug wells, you know, and doesn't really seem to be of any great purpose to us. Is this a good field to go into, digging, being a well digger? And at the same time, it doesn't seem to be showing great respect for Yitzchak Avinu, that this is what he was involved in, digging wells. V'hu v'oviv osu oisam b'shoveh, and that he and his father did this, you know, they were both, Avram Avinu was involved in this, and Yitzchak Avinu took it over. Aval yesh bedovor inyan nistar b'soichoy. However, there's something very deep hidden here. Ki bo lohoidia dvar osid. The Torah is coming to tell us the future. It's revealing the future here. Ki be'er ma'im chayim yirmoiz lebeis elokim ashayasu bonov shel Yitzchak. Because a well of flowing waters is alluding to the house of Hashem, which the descendants of Yitzchak Avinu, the Jews in the future, would be building. V'lochein hiskir be'er ma'im chayim. That's why it doesn't just say a well, it says a well of living waters. And remember, we've been learning water is das, chachma, and chayim is chachma. Ha-chachma techaye bo'aleho. We saw this very clearly. K'may she'omar, as the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu Novi, mekor mayim chayim es Hashem. V'koro harishon esek, he called the first well esek, yirmoiz lebayis rishon. That's alluding to the first Beis HaMikdosh, Asher his asku imanu, v'osu esanu kama machloikos v'kama melchomos ad shehechrivua. There was a lot of opposition to the first Beis HaMikdash, and there was all kinds of battles until Nebuchadnezzar succeeded in destroying that first Beis HaMikdash. V'hasheni, the second well, koroshma sitna, was called sitna, shem koshem and horishon, a harsher name even than the first one. V'hu habayis hasheni shekora oisoi kishmoi shekosuv boi. And this refers to the second Beis HaMikdash, which Yitzchak Avinu called it by the name that's found in the Navi. There's a pasuk in Ezra, in the Navi Ezra, where it says, u'bemalchus achashveirosh betchilas malchusoi kosfu sitna al yoshve Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. That during the reign of Achashverosh, in the beginning of his kingdom, they wrote evil against the Jewish people. Sitna, they wrote satan, prosecution against the Jewish people. V'chol yomav hoyulonu l'sitna, and throughout his days, there was this negativity, ad shehechrivuhu, until eventually the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. V'golu mimenu golus ra, and the Jewish people were exiled, a terrible exile. V'hashlishi, the third one, is called Kor Rechovos, Hu Habayis Ha'osid. This refers to the future Beis HaMikdash, She'ibone b'mheira b'yameinu, which we hope will be built speedily in our time. This is the Ramban writing, almost 1,000 years ago, about approximately. V'hu yase b'loy riv umatza. That third Beis HaMikdash is going to be established without any opposition, without any machloikis. V'hokel yarchiv es gvuleinu, and Hashem will widen and broaden will expand our boundaries. K'mo shenemar, as it says in Chumash Dvorim, v'im yarchiv Hashem olikecha es gvulcho kashadiber. It'll come a time when Hashem will expand your boundaries, as He promised. Shehu la'osid, this refers to the future. Uksiv b'bayis shlishi, and the pasuk says in Yecheskel Anovi regarding the third Beis HaMikdash, v'rochva v'nospo l'malo l'malo. It'll be expanded and rise higher and higher. Ufarinu ba'aretz, And then we will expand in the world. The numbers of Jews, of people that believe in Hashem, will expand. Shekol ho'amim yavduhu shchem echod. All the nations of the world will serve Hashem shoulder to shoulder, as one, in one unit. This is an incredible Ramban, you know, on our topic here. That fits beautifully with what Rav Nosson Zal explained this. Any questions? The Ramban is in Chumash Bereishis, chapter 26, in Toldos. V'al kein, Iker hascholas hiskarvus Yisroel avim shvashamayim hualidei tvilas mikvah. And therefore, one of the most important beginnings of the Jewish nation or an individual Jew coming close to Hashem is by going to dipping in the mikvah. Ki kol mi sheroitze lotzeis mituma letahara tzorich litboil b'mikvah. Because anyone who wants to get out of tuma, out of impurity, and enter into purity, must dip in the mikvah. V'chein Yisroel koidem matan Torah. The Gemara says in Krisus that before the Jews received the Torah on Har Sinai, they had to dip in the mikveh. It was like a conversion. This is the concept of the mikveh of the night of Shavuos, before receiving the Torah in the morning, in the daytime of Shavuos. That the Sifrei Kabbalah and Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this deeply in chapter 56 in Likutei Moran, about the incredible mikveh of the night of Shavuos for men, called the mikveh nun, the mikveh of the 50th level. That's a preparation for receiving the Torah anew. V'chein ger shebo lehizgayer, v'roitza likonis lektushes Yisrael. And the same thing, if a man or woman comes to convert and they want to enter into the holiness of the Jewish nation, tzorech litboil b'mikveh, they must dip in the mikveh. Ki iker hiskarvus Yisroel Hashem Yisborach hu bechinas hanal. Because the whole concept of the Jewish people coming close to Hashem is based on what we learned in the beginning of this halacha, lechaber ulekarei bechinas shaloi keseder lebechinas keseder. It's all about uniting the aspect of shaloi keseder with keseder, the woman with the man, making that union, the dinim with the chasodim. This is the concept of the union between the Jewish nation or the Shekhinah, both are called Knesset Yisrael, with their beloved, with Hashem. The concept of the Jewish people coming close to Hashem. And one of the most important ways that this is accomplished is by dipping in the mikveh. Because when a person goes into the mikveh, one of the things that we're doing is we're covering ourselves up. We're hiding ourselves from the whole materialistic world. We're leaving the materialistic world and plugging into what was at the beginning of creation. At the beginning of creation, it was just wall-to-wall water. The world in its highest state of purity was wall-to-wall water. When a person is going into a mikveh, they're plugging themselves into that level of holiness, the original state of the world. V'nechlolin be'ein soif, and plugging into that infinity, that infinite light that existed in the bebechinas ma, which is referred to as ma, nothingness, bebechinas chachma, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 82, in the second half of Likutei Moran, which this halach is based on, the concept of chokhmah, which is koyach ma. Bebechinas odom, ma is bigematria odom, which is keseder. We're taking all of our shaloi keseder and plugging it into keseder, which is going to negate it. It's all going to become keseder. Just like when a woman gets married, before she's married, her husband has one family name, she has a different family name. They get married, she drops her family name. She becomes Mrs. and the husband's family name. The Shaloi Keseder becomes nullified to the Keseder. Now listen to this next opening line. V'alkein ha-mikveh matzil mikol hatzorois. And therefore, mikveh can save a person from all types of problems, all suffering. As Rabbeinu Zal writes there in chapter 56 in Likutei Moran, Bechinas, as it says in a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Mikveh Yisroel Hashem Moishioi Be'es Tzara. Hashem is the hope, the salvation of the Jewish people. He saves us when we're in any time of desperation. So the word mikveh means hope, and the word mikveh means a gathering of water. In the beginning of Bereishis, it says, Yikavu hamayim el mokoy mechod v'seira hayabosha. Rav Nosson Zal says this, that the mikveh, in a different place, that mikveh has two meanings, two translations. Mikveh means hope, and mikveh means gathering of water. And Rav Nosson Zal says, it's because this gathering of water, this mikveh is the hope of a Jew. When a Jew is in any kind of trouble, any kind of problem, the first thing is mikveh. And in Breslov, it was known, I heard that in Uman, you know, many years ago, it was known that if a person heard of any crisis, any problem, somebody heard that the government was, the IRS was after them, the KGB, first thing mikveh. First I go to the mikveh, then I start davening, that kind of thing. The erste Sache is mikveh. That was a famous expression in Breslov. The first thing is mikveh. Ki kol hatzorois chas v'shalom nimshochem mebechina shaloi keseder. Because all problems and all suffering of any is all related to this concept of shaloi keseder. It means that things are not in their proper order. How are things? Not great, not good. Good is keseder. Keseder is called good. Things are beseder means things are good. Things are okay. Things are going well. Shaloi keseder means things are not going well. Any type of not going well is included under this umbrella term shaloi keseder. And that's why things are going not in the proper way. And the person has some kind of pain, chas v'shalom, or suffering. And by toivling in the mikveh, shalidezeh nechzar bechinas shaloi keseder lebechinas keseder. That causes the shaloi keseder to be returned, to go back to keseder. Alidezeh nizbatlin kol hatzorois. This could eliminate all pain, all suffering. Ki nizbatel bechinas shaloi keseder, v'nichlal betoich bechinas keseder, v'nasa hakol keseder. Because the shaloi keseder becomes nullified, it plugs into the keseder, and it all becomes keseder. It becomes all keseder. V'zehu mikveh Yisroel Hashem, and this is why it says Hashem is mikveh Yisroel. Which name? Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is keseder. Yismechu Hashamayim v'sogel Horetz. That's Yud Kei Vav Kei keseder in its proper order, proper sequence. Ki hamikveh hu bechinas keseder, shehu bechinas Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, bechinas havaya b'miluy alfin. Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei when it's filled out with aleph's, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in chapter 82 in the second half of Likutei Moran. Validei ze moishiyoi be'es tzara. And when a person connects to this havaya, to this Yud Kei Vav Kei b'miluy alfin, to this bechin of keseder, to this mo, to this chokhma, this koyach mo, this will save a person, take a person out of any type of suffering or problem. Question in the chat, mikveh is bina, 40 saw. And here it's koyachma or chachma. Is mikveh the aspect of chachma which comes out of bina? If not, how is it both chachma and bina? When I grow up and learn about these things, I'll let you know. We know that these two are referred to as inseparable. Chachma and Bina are referred to as inseparable. They're called Train Rein Deloy Misparshin. And throughout the Zohar Kodesh, it always says that when it speaks about creation, it says, Abba Oimer, Ima Oise. The Abba, the Father, Chachma gave the command, Bina executed the command. So these two are always very, very much connected. It's definitely true that there's tremendous emphasis that mikveh is Bina, 40 saw, and the word mikveh is bigematria 151, which is Hashem's name Ekye b'milui, and Ekye is the name for Bina. But obviously there's this connect. Bina is coming from Chachma, and obviously there's more to this. We should be zeichet to learn the Torah on all of its levels, but we know that it's all really one. Chochma and Bina and Chesed and Gvura, all of these are really, really one. Question?
When Rav Nosson here is talking about Bechina Savaya, Mila, Alfin, he's alluding there also to the Chochma you mentioned above?
Exactly, exactly. Mm. Because the truth is, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, many times in the Zohar Shavuot, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei is associated with Chochma. Like Eki is associated with Bina, you know. Another question? What can save a woman from all kinds of trouble? The answer is, number one, when her husband goes to the mikveh, for sure. Or number two is when a woman goes to the mikveh. Number three is supporting mikvahs, building mikvahs. And number four is, we mentioned the tzaddik. If you recall, I think it was in the previous shiur or two shiurim ago, we mentioned that a mikveh is 960 lugin. And we mentioned that the 40 days of tshuva is 960 hours of tshuva, and the tzaddik is 960. The word Yosef is Yud Vav Pa'omim Samach. 16 times 60 is 960. A tzaddik is a mikveh, and by connecting to the tzaddik, by learning the words of the tzaddik, by believing in the tzaddik, by giving tzedakah to the tzaddik, all the ways that we connect to the tzaddik, that's going to the mikveh. That's literally going to the mikveh. I remember hearing from my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld Zichron Livracha that if a person, chas v'shalom, if a man ever is not able to go to the mikveh, then one of the best things a person can do in place of that is recite a tikkun haklali and have in mind that this is in place of the mikveh.
Rav Nosson, I had trouble understanding when I think maybe my volume kind of ran out a little bit. But when you say when we're dunking into the mikveh, we're leaving this material world and we're plugging into, and then I lost kind of volume.
Sure. We're plugging into pre-creation just about. Because we know when Hashem, when Hashem began creation, it started, the world originally was wall-to-wall water. And then it says Hashem separated the lower waters from the upper waters. And the heavens were in between there. And then it says Hashem gathered together the water in order to make dry land, in order to have dry land. So the world in its original state, in its purest state, was wall-to-wall water. When a person is going into the mikveh, when I'm placing my entire self underwater, I'm connecting to that state. I'm connecting to that state of the world in its original state, wall-to-wall water, and going above that, before water, when it was light, the infinite light of Hashem. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem yitein oimer hamevasrois tzavarov. Hashem gives forth speech. And it's brought that the word oimer is oir mayim rokia. That the creation began with light, and then water, and then the sky. You know, those were three major early steps in creation.
Learning Tarovus now, and there's a concept called Birya, something that's not Batal. Mm-hmm. And there's those who say that even though it's not Batal, there is a shear that's Batal, and they say 1/960th is the shear that's mentioned there. Is that the same in
that's exactly, you weren't here in the previous shear. We mentioned that the B'nai Yisachar quotes that Gemara, that there's a debate in the Gemara between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. As the according to the Bavli, Birya afilu be'elef loy Batal. A complete being, even if it falls into 1,000 times as much, it does not become negated. In the Yerushalmi, there's an opinion that says that if you have 960 times as much, it can even nullify a barrier. And the B'nai Yisachar, I don't remember whether it's his own Chiddush or he quotes somebody else on this, says, let me show you what this is alluding to. And he gives these three examples of Adam, Mokoyim, and Zman. Adam, it's the tzaddik. Mokoyim, it's the mikveh. Zman, it's these 40 days of tshuva from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur. Awesome.
So you become batel then?
Exactly. Even a barrier becomes batel. Batel means it's mevatel, the tumah, completely. The person becomes, it's bitul. The person becomes batel to the oyer ein soif. That state of bitul, which is like the highest state of connecting with Hashem. In Torah Nun Beis, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about his spoydidus, he speaks about a person working on themselves, one mida at a time, to get rid of one mida ra, spend a few days or a few weeks pleading with Hashem to get rid of this midah. Then you go on to the next one, then the next one, until the person is mevatel everything. He nullifies all the midos rois, everything. And again, that's one of the purposes of hispoidus, to get to this bitul, to get rid of every, just like the Shulchan Aruch says in the laws of Shemayin Esrei, when the Shulchan Aruch speaks about it, the Shulchan Aruch begins introducing the topic of Shemayin Esrei by saying, Chasidim Horishonim used to have hispashtus hagashmius when they daven Shemayin Esrei. They detached all the wires connecting the neshama to the body. They pulled out all of those wires. Nope, body, see you later. I'm connecting purely, totally with Hashem, this bitul to the Oyer Ein Sof. And that's why it says by Shemayin Esrei, you're not allowed to look out of your sitter. Either your eyes are closed completely, not looking anywhere, or for those people that need to, looking in a sitter, but being careful not to look out. That uses such harsh terminology, that there's a malach, who if a person looks out in the middle of Shemayin Esrei, there's a malach, when that person passes away, he smashes the eyes of the person. That's how serious this concept of bitul is during Shemayin Esrei. And again, in Breslov, we strive for that during Hispoidus. The person's trying to get... That's why at night, when nobody... In a place where nobody goes during the day and complete silence, to get to this bitul, this kind... And mikveh is one of the outstanding forms of this bitul. The person's submerging themselves in the water. Now here again, there's a famous thing from Rabbi Nazal, that when a person is going to the mikveh, when the person goes underwater, they should try to stay, to hold their breath, to stay underwater as long as you can until you feel you're almost going to pass out, chas v'shalom. And that last second, or those last few seconds, are an incredible, incredible eis ratzon. And it's based on a pasuk in Tehillim. Hoshieni Elokim ki bo mayim ad nofesh. Hashem, save me, because the water is up to my life. Meaning, I'm in the water, up to my life is about to end, chas shalom, if I were to stay any longer, that kind of thing. And it's brought that this was the scream of Nachshon ben Aminadov. We're going to have this week is Parshas Vo'era, and another 2 weeks we're going to have Parshas B'Shalach. It says that when Hashem said, go, what go? There's a Red Sea in front of us. Nachshon ben Aminadov heard go, and he started running. He started running into the water, and nothing's happening. And he got going further until the water got up to his nose, I believe, where if he would go any further, there's no breathing. And that's when he said these famous words of Dovra Melech, Hoshieni Elokim ki bo mayim at nofesh, and that's when the water split. That's when Kriyas Yam Suf, you know, took place. So again, Rabbi Nazal says, if and when a person can. Now here again, if you're in a mikveh that only has room for one person to tovel, and there's 300 people waiting to tovel, don't be a clown. Don't be funny. You know, this is when a person has. And if you're going to stay under the water, and you're going to miss Shemon Esrei and davening and every, means when a person can. This is a special thing to be able to do, to stay under the water. And again, scream Tashem with your mouth closed. Don't take in any water. But inside, the person is screaming to Hashem, Hashem, please give me and my family and all my friends and all of Klal Yisrael all of the Yeshuas that we need. The final paragraph, and I have no words, honestly, to thank all of those that are joining in this shir, because without everyone, we wouldn't have this. This was initiated by a very, very close friend from Ramat Beit Shemesh. I live in Yerushalayim, and we started learning together over the phone. And Hashem gave the world this incredible gift of COVID. And he said he has more time. Can we do this every day? And we started doing it every day. And it turned into a Zoom shir. And Baruch Hashem, there's incredible soldiers that are consistent almost every day joining in this shir. And that's what made it possible to finish this volume. And Mitzvah Hashem to start the next volume. V'zeh Sham Rabbi Yisrael Zal. And this is what the Gemara says at the end of Yuma. The last Mishnah in Yuma, al pasuk zeh, regarding this pasuk, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, Moshiel Beis Sora, the Gemara says there, Ma Mikveh Metayras Hatmeim, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metayras Es Yisrael. Just like a mikveh purifies a person that's Tameh, Hashem purifies the Jewish nation. So the Gemara is saying, mikveh is Hashem. Ki HaKoil Echad, because it's all one. Ki mei ha-mikvah, heim bechinas mei ha-das, because the mikveh waters represent these waters of sechel, shehem bechinas hamshochas chiyus hakodesh baruch hu kaviyochel, which is like drawing life from Hashem, because the life that Hashem is spouting is chochma, hachochma techaye boleh. Chochma is the source of spiritual life. Bechinas keseder, which is all this concept of keseder, shalideze ikar hataharo. And this is what really purifies a person. Kinase hakoil keseder. Because by going to the mikvah, it'll change all the shaloi keseder in a person's life to keseder. It'll eliminate all the sins. The Gemara says, ein yisurin b'loi, ein misa b'loi chet, ve'ein yisurin b'loi ovoim. There's no such thing as death without sin, and there's no such thing as suffering without sin. So death and suffering are all a reflection of sin. We get rid of the sins, we get rid of the death, we get rid of the suffering. How do we get rid of it? The cleansing is the mikvah. The mikvah. We should be zeicha, Hashem should give us the privilege of going to the mikvah every day, not to miss a mikvah, and to appreciate it. Again, the Gemara says a person who doesn't believe that Yom Kippur works, he doesn't believe that Yom Kippur erases our sins, then for that person, it doesn't erase it. Person goes to the mikvah and doesn't... I don't know if this helps. Maybe it helps. Then maybe it will, maybe it won't. Person goes in with a positiveness. I believe, be'emunah shleima, that the Torah, that the tzaddikim say, this is it, this is so big, this is so special, then it can have the full effectiveness for the person. Amen v'amen. Rav Nosson Zal concludes with these words. Chaz de Hashem, we should be zecha to come back to this volume again soon, Mitz Hashem, to continue, go through the Holy Kutei Halachos and start again. I remember, not sure if it was before I got married or after I got married, when I was learning the Kutei Halachos, and I was getting, and every time I'd come across things that I didn't understand, which was pretty often, I'd write it down, and then when I saved up five or six of these things, I would call up Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avracha, and I would ask him, and very often he would explain things from the Zohar HaKodesh, from the Arizal. You know, it was incredible to have access to such an encyclopedia. And then when he saw that I was in Chosh Mishpat and I was coming towards the end, he said, wow, it looks like you're going to be making a Siyum soon. He said to me, this Sefer, you never finish. You finish, you go back again, you do it again. And he himself had a Seder on Likutei Halachos every year. He would learn Likutei Halachos during Sfiras Omer. That was his time for going through the Kutei Halachos. He would go through all eight volumes, 4,000 pages, during Sfiras Omer, during those 50 days. And we would see him. I'd see him doing it. He would bring it to shul between Mincha Maariv, the shul that he davened in. The Rav gave a shir for about 20, 25 minutes. You'd see Rav Rosenfeld sitting in the shul with his law. He had the old set of Likutei Halachos, which was smaller. And you'd see him, you know, going through the pages, quickly, going through the pages. And there were times when he would say, like on the 35th day of the Omer, or the 40th, wow, Baruch Hashem, this year I finished early. This year I got to finish early. We're talking about do the math. We should be zeichet to learn it on our level as best as we can and to get all the benefits from it.